Let me take a survey real quick. How many of you grew up, and respond by the lifting of a hand, how many of you grew up with a certain admiration for this guy named Superman? All right. A lot of us, I think some of you probably did, and you're too embarrassed because you just hate to look up to a guy who wears his underwear on the outside of his clothes. But a lot of us, we grew up, you know, since 1938, Superman has been in comic books and movie theaters and all these things. He's been many different guys over different eras of time. And I've often thought, as great as Superman was, the villain could have stopped him any moment he wanted to if he would just eradicate all phone booths from the planet, right? Because Superman can't do anything until he runs into a phone booth, changes clothes, and then he runs out. And when he comes out of the phone booth, he's different than what he went in, right? Right? I need you to pick up on this illustration. If not, we're going to be lost for a few minutes. Well, here's the deal. Here's what you and I have in common with Superman. Okay? You and I, before we can be any use to those on the outside, we need a change to take place in our lives first, right? Before Superman could ever make a change on the outside in someone else's life, he always had to do a personal change first. He always had to find a phone booth to make a wardrobe change. And somehow, when that change was taking place, he went from being ordinary, non-impressive, clumsy Clark Kent into Superman. I just believe today that God is wanting to make you and I, or allow you and I, to make a huge difference in the lives around us. But before we can do that, before we can make a life change in the lives around us, we need God to make a change in us. Amen. How do you agree with that this morning? So today, you know, sometimes I believe the Lord allows us to have some pauses, some moments that seem like dead ends, some moments that seem like life is going nowhere, some moments that seem confined, so that when we come out changed. We come out different. We come out with power later that we didn't have before. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, David, we're going to pick up his story. Verse number 1 says, David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and father's house heard of it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was distressed, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. And he became commander over them, and there with him about 400 men. And David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and mother stay with you until I know what God will do for me." And he left them with the king of Moab, and he stayed with them all that time while David was in the stronghold. Then the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not remain in the stronghold. Depart and go into the land of Judah." So David departed and went and to the forest of Herith. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that your word never returns void, but always goes forward to accomplish what you want it to accomplish. I pray this morning that that is exactly what will happen in the next minutes of time, that your word will speak to us by your spirit. So Lord, anoint me above my own ability to speak the words of God. The words of God alone. Anoint our ears, our hearts, and our mind to hear, receive, and respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And let our lives never be the same. And all God's people said. Amen. So here's the backstory. You already know it, but let me tell you anyway. David has been anointed to be the next king. And it's not yet, right? It's not yet. He's going to be the next king. But there is a current king in position, Saul, who's really not that excited about David taking over. Matter of fact, he's so upset about it, he is trying repeatedly to kill David. And so with David trying to be killed by the current king, he flees from the palace, and he has nowhere to run except for he runs to this cave that's called Adullam. And that word simply defined, it simply means the place of refuge. How many are glad to know that when life turns up the heat, there's a place of refuge that God has for us? As a matter of fact, Jesus said this. He said, any of you who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Jesus actually longs to be that refuge. And so if you walked in this place this morning and life is hard and life is kind of throwing you a curveball and you don't know what to do, let me tell you what you do with that. You run to Jesus because he longs to be your refuge. Amen? Amen? But the Lord does not want you to spend your whole life in retreat. Okay? He doesn't want you to run to a place of refuge and live there. He doesn't want you to spend your whole life feel like I've got to run away from every problem. No, when God becomes our place of refuge, what happens is he transforms us in that place of refuge. We're going to find out in just a minute. For King David, that cave sort of became the spiritual phone booth for David. It's in the cave that God transformed him. And when he walked out of that cave, he was a different person than he walked in. If you're in a hard place this morning, I want you to know that God can be your refuge. You can run to him and he will be there for you. But friends, you can come out of that refuge different than what you came in. Amen? Matter of fact, the name of this sermon this morning is simply this: coming out changed. Amen? Say it with me, coming out changed. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm coming out changed. I don't know what you're running from this morning, but I don't know who you can run to. And I know this, when you come out of the cave season of your life, you can come out changed. You may be in a season of hardship this morning, but you can come out with God's blessing. You may be in a season of despair, but you can come out whole this morning. You may be in a season of loss, but I believe that God can cause you to have abundance when you come out of this place differently. You may have come into this season filled with captivity, but I believe that you can leave this place this morning completely free if you'll determine that I'm going to run to Jesus as my refuge, but then when I leave him, I'm going to leave changed differently than what I walked in. So the question I want to answer this morning is, how can I make sure, and this is very important because I don't want you to live, and I don't want our church to live a cycle of hitting the same problems, repeating, maybe getting healed, and then we repeat the problem again. But how many know the children of Israel is a pretty good case study that if you don't learn the lesson the first time, you get to keep on repeating it until you do learn it, right? And so I want to pass the test the first time. How about you, right? I remember I was in college. I hated biology. I'll just be honest with you. I was failing biology. And my professor told me one day after class, he said, Greg, don't worry. If you fail, you can do it again next semester. And I changed my study habits immediately because I knew I didn't want to do it again. So how can you not make sure we come out of whatever season you're in right now? How can I come out changed? David tells us a few ways. Number one, you got to realize that when you're in a cave season of life, when you're in a life where you're in a season where it seems like all I can do is run to my refuge, while you're in the refuge of God, you need to understand this first thing this morning is that God often expands your influence in seasons of hardship. Okay? Look at verse number one. It says, David departed there and he went to the cave. And then look at verse number two. Everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to David there. I have been praying a prayer that God refuses to answer. I've been praying, Lord, would you use my expertise and my talent to show off your greatness in my life? And God refuses to do that. Instead, he uses my mess-ups and my hang-ups and the hard times of life, and that's how he displays his message through me. I keep hoping and dreaming that my daughters, Stella and Nora, I keep dreaming that they will hear their dad preach a great message and they would learn from that. But I've discovered from my own experience that that's not how people learn. How they learn best from you and how people learn best from me, how God will get his message through your life best is when you're in that season of hell on earth. When you're in a season of hell on earth, now people want to know, what do you got to say? Right? When you're going through the hard time, that's when your life speaks clearly. I have a friend of mine that went to the, he was felt called to be a missionary inside the Arctic Circle. Now, as cold as it's been the last few days, it just reminded me that I'm not called to be there because God's not given me grace for that. But he was called there, and he got there, and he started witnessing to people, trying to invite people to their little church, which wasn't much of a church. It was more of a hut. And finally, about the third day there, someone helped him. He said, "Listen, Pastor, you got to understand, no one is going to listen to you because you're new to the village. And most people that come here, they come, they try to start a church, and within 2 or 3 months, the weather gets horrible, and they're just looking for the first snowmobile out of here. And they leave." And that's not an exaggeration. That's how you get out of there. They're looking for their first snowmobile out of here. And so they're not going to listen to you at all until you survive your first winter. And so they literally had to just stay there for a solid year, just trying to survive the winter time. But he told me, he said, "Greg, they were exactly right." Then when spring came and it got up to 20 degrees and we celebrated, you know. When spring came, people listened to me that would have never listened to me before. What am I saying? What I'm saying is you've got to understand that sometimes it's in the cave season of our life that God can use us most for his kingdom. It's in the cave season of our life that God can use our life as a masterpiece, as a intercom, as a megaphone for the message that he's put inside of us. So don't curse the cave you find yourself in today. It could be that God's trying to expand your influence. There a few years ago, Megan and I were going through a pretty difficult time. And I would never use this language in church, but I want to quote her correctly. She said, "Greg, why do all the screwed up people get attracted to me?" Now, if you have been attracted to my wife since we've been here, I don't know what that means. If you call her your new friend, she asked me, she said, "Is there something wrong with me that makes messed up people want to be around me?" I want to say absolutely, but the Lord spoke to me in that moment. Here's the deal. It's not messed up people aren't attracted to you because something's wrong with you. They're attracted to you because something's right in you. Amen? I was reading this passage a couple of weeks ago, getting ready for this, and it dawned on me, there are people that were attracted to David, whose lives were transformed because of David, who he would have never impacted if he'd gone straight to the palace. But since he spent a few weeks in a cave, he touched people's lives that he never would have touched because he spent some moments in the cave. Some of you have been cursing your cave this morning. You've been cursing the season that you're in. When you don't understand the season you're in right now has actually got you planted in the right place that your life can have an effect on people like never before. Now, I would challenge you to make sure to do what David did. David didn't let the people around him change his spirit. Instead, he dedicated himself to changing their spirit. Right, the people who were broke came to the one who was debt-free. People who were bitter in life came to the person who refused to be bitter at life, even though he had opportunity to. I would challenge you in the cave of life, make sure you never become a person who allows what's around you to get inside of you, but rather allow what's inside of you to flourish and come out and impact those around you instead. And secondly, this morning, when life gets hard, determine to know God more. Determine to know his word and his promises. In verse number 3, David, I love his honesty. He takes his parents to the king of Moab, basically says, "Hey, take care of them because Saul's trying to kill me. And if he kills me, I don't want him to kill my whole family. So if you will, watch out for my family." But then he says these words. He says, "Keep them till I know what God will do for me." I like David's honesty. He's in a hard time, and he doesn't know what God's going to do. but he's confident God's going to do something. If you're in a hard place this morning, I would challenge you, be okay with the idea that you don't know what God's going to do, but be confident with the fact that you know that God is going to work on your behalf this morning. Amen? Don't allow, amen, give the Lord a hand clap for that. Don't allow what you see to keep you from realizing that I know that God is going to do something on my behalf. It's in the cave we learn to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, Jesus himself went through some cave time. He went through some experiences where everything seemed to be hard, but yet he persevered and he resisted temptation. Listen, in the cave, you will learn that God's heart towards you is good and not for evil. Listen, just because something was not on your radar doesn't mean it wasn't part of God's plan. So, continue seeking the will of God, even in the hard times of your life. I was sharing with someone this morning. They said, Pastor, what are you preaching about this morning? Here's one thing the Lord's really settled in my heart about this message this morning, is that there are times when we go through things and we think what we're going through is preventing us from doing or becoming what God's called us to do. Right? David could have felt that way. He was called to be the king. He was anointed to be the king, and yet he's stuck in a cave. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like God's made you a promise, but you can't get there? And it's easy to think that the circumstances of my life are preventing me from God's plan. But I would ask you to look at this a different way. Perhaps the cave you're in is not preventing you from God's plan. Perhaps it's preserving you until God's plan comes into fruition for your life. Amen? If you go through your whole life thinking, well, this is preventing me, this is stopping me, this is stopping the plan of God. Listen, it's not stopping the plan of God. It is preserving the plan of God until you're at the right place at the right time to meet the opportunity that God has ordained for you. Amen? I just want to speak prophetically over this house this morning. As a body, some of you have thought, oh, there's some things that's happened to us as a church, and there's some things that happened to us as a family that has prevented us from doing what God once promised over this place. And I want to tell you, God has not allowed anything to prevent what God has promised. Rather, he has preserved his power and his promise for your life and for my life and for this place for his kingdom's sake. Amen? And so don't allow what you see to keep you from grabbing hold of what God's promised. Confess that your hardship is on God's map this morning. The Bible says in verse number 5, this is so important to me. It says the prophet Gad said to David, don't remain in the stronghold. God's voice came to David's cave. And I would say this to you this morning. Whatever you're going through, it's not so deep that it's going to keep God's voice from coming to where you are. You know, the prophet Elijah was in a place of despair one time. He said, Lord, you know, I'm the only person who's still living for you, who's still proclaiming your goodness. God, I'm the only one who still stands for you. And the Lord showed up in that cave of Elijah's life and he said, you're not the only one. There are still thousands who have not yet bowed a knee, who are still loving me. God's voice came to Elijah's cave. His voice came to David's cave. And I don't know how deep and how dark the season of your life is this morning, but I know this. God's voice can come to you. His help can come to you. Your hardship is on God's map. His GPS has not misplaced you. You are not some random element floating through the universe. God has a perfect plan for you and your life, and his purpose is intact for you this morning. Your life is on God's map. Fourth, this morning I would challenge you to cling to your faith during the hard times. David, verse number 1 says that David departed from there. You know where there was? There was the palace. Now, if you get a chance between staying in a cave or a palace, I would choose the palace every single time. But yet, even though it seemed like David's life was going backwards, you ever have seasons of life when you feel like it's going backwards? Right? I mean, David was promised he would be the next king. Then he got promoted from the sheep, keeping sheep, to playing in the palace. And now he's eating in the palace and he's living in the palace. And now it's all going backwards. At this moment, we pick up his story. He seems further away from the throne at any time of his life. And yet he hangs on to faith. Listen, when your outward environment changes, cling to your faith. Amen. You know, it was Joseph who was sent away from his family to be the redeemer for his family. It was Moses that had to leave Egypt first before he could lead them out at a later time. Sometimes God puts us in caves, not because he is trying to separate us from other things, but it's because he's trying to separate and solidify in our heart his purpose for our life. Friends, sometimes God separates you so he can just pressure cook into your life his purpose and your plan and his plan. So when you come out of that cave, you come out resolute that this is the word of God and this is the promise of God. And what he says is going to happen one way or the other. I'm going to follow Jesus. So cling to your faith even when you're in the caves of life. And fifth, this morning, celebrate your way through the hard times of life. David wrote the psalm. Psalms are so encouraging to me because I discovered that David can, not just David, we can all can be honest with God, and your prayers don't have to be pretty. And you can question God without really hurting his feelings. Did you know that? If you don't understand our Heavenly Father, here's what I would encourage you to do. Pray like this. Lord, I don't understand. Okay? You're not going to tick him off. Now, he may not tell you exactly why he's doing what he's doing, but he will help you and strengthen you. In the middle of this cave, David wrote Psalms 57:7, and he said, Lord, my heart is steadfast, O God. The king's trying to kill me, but my heart is steadfast. And I will sing, and I will make music. Though the king is trying to kill me and throw spears at me, awake my soul, awake the harp and the lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations, and I will sing of your glory among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory fill all the earth. Those are not the words of a man who is on top of cloud nine. Those are the words of a man who is in the belly of the earth running for his life. But he determined, I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going to worship God anyway. I'm going to declare his greatness over this great disappointment I'm in this morning. And friends, if you want to leave your place changed, if you want to leave this season changed, different from what you come in, I would challenge you, praise God anyway. Amen? Amen. Praise him anyway. Praise him despite the despair. You know, there's another guy whose name was Paul, and his running buddy was Silas, who decided to praise God in a particular cave. And when they did, their praise broke the place open and set them free. I just wonder what would happen if you and I would decide that when we find ourselves in the caves of life, we'll determine, I may be in this place, but I'm going to come out differently because I'm going to praise my way through this place. I'm going to hang on to my faith through this place. I'm going to honor him through this place. I'm going to leave this place different than what I came in. Listen, your cave, Megan, if you want to come, your cave is not there to confine you, nor is it there to define the rest of your life. The rest of your life does not have to be defined by your latest tragedy. You know, David could have just led the rest of his life as a victim. Well, you know, I honored God and they tried to kill me for it. Right? I was promised one thing and I got persecuted instead. But instead of allowing this season in the cave to define his life, he allowed it to refine him for God's ultimate purpose for his plan. David walked in that place with no army of his own at all. And yet God sent him the bitter people. In the meantime, he taught them how to not be bitter. God sent him the angry people, and when they had a chance to take vengeance, David taught them something about honor. I just wonder if what God is trying to teach us in the cave times of our life is so that we can have an impact on people we would otherwise not have an impact on. Now, I know that's not exciting to us because we want
cloud nine at all times. We want to be on top of the earth. We want to live in the palace. We want all these things. But I just want to tell you, real life is this. You're going to spend a night or two in the cave. And instead of allowing your cave time to destroy you, or just think, well, this is something I've got to endure until I get to the real plan of God. No, friends, sometimes the caves of life is part of God's plan. Because it's in those caves that He allows us to be used by Him to help other people. And at the same time, He begins to keep His promises to us in that time. You know, David walked out of that place with an army that was not just following him because they were getting paid to do so. They were following him because they knew there was a heart of a king in a man who wasn't yet the king. God's going to allow some of you to reach people during your hard times because they're going to discover that the way you conduct yourselves and the way you express faith, the way you worship God, even when there's no reason on the outside, they're going to discover there's a heart of a king inside that person. It's the King of Kings and it's the Lord of Lords, because He shows up best when we decide, I'm just going to worship You and I'm going to praise You and I'm going to declare Your greatness no matter what's going on around me. Amen? So here's what we're going to do this morning. I want to ask you real quickly, just to bow your heads all across this place. We're going to pray. But I want to give you a chance to respond first. You're sitting across this room. You say, Pastor, right now, I am in a cave season. I have needed the Lord to be my strength and my refuge more than ever before. I need that place to run to and be safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the Bible says. The righteous, they can run into it and be safe. You've needed that refuge like never before. I'm here to tell you that God can be that refuge for you this morning. And say, Pastor, I need that. Would you just lift a hand real quick? Says to me, Pastor, pray for me because I am in a state where I need the refuge. I need the help of God. Amen. Amen. Many, many people across this room. Here's the second question then that I'm going to ask us all to respond to that are willing. You say, Pastor, I'm in a cave, or perhaps I'm headed towards one. I've discovered most of us were either in a hard season, coming out of a hard season, or we're headed to a hard season. And every one of those seasons, God uses us to reach more people, and He internalizes His plan and His spirit and His resolve into our heart every season we choose to yield to Him. So I would challenge you this way this morning, every single one of us, no matter the season of your life, would you just declare this about the season you're in today? Father, I want You to be seen and known. And I'm going to leave this season, whether it's a hard season or an easy season, I'm going to leave this season changed because I know this season is on Your map. I know this season has people around me that I can influence for Christ. I know this season has opportunity to it that I would never have if I hadn't come through it. And so, Lord, do what You want to. Use me in every season of life, including this season as well.